In some ways, I finished last Sunday feeling like, wow, that was exactly what I would want to say. And then Nathan called me this week and said, "How'd you like to share on the Bible?" And I kind of thought, well, I think you said it. But I've had some thoughts I've been sharing with pastors around the country, and that's really on my heart. And I thought, well, that'll be easy. I'll take this opportunity because I won't have to prepare this. I'll just share what I always, you know, what I just, it's just like coming out of me. But it was interesting as I sat down to figure it out. It's like, Lord just wouldn't let me roll that direction for this world. And I think I'm supposed to come with something a lot more practical. So I'm going to share some practical thoughts, and we're going to grab even a couple slides from Nathan's teaching from last week. But I want to bring this right down to where we live and choices that we make and things that can make a difference today and tomorrow morning and next year. And really, the whole point of all of it is to change that day when we stand in front of God and we review all the days again and we're glad for what we did and the choices we made. That's really what matters and what counts. And so we're going to try to find some things that will be supportive of that and helpful for that. So let me just pray and ask God to just track our thoughts the way he wants them to go. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're with us and that your heart is good. That you look down on us, though we do not see you, you see us. And you love us, you made us, you put each one of us right in the place we're in. You're at peace with that. That you know you can meet us right where we are. And I ask God that you teach us more about the place of your word in our life. God, make us more focused and clear and settled and directed, I pray. Pray, God, you'd help us to make the right decisions about how we think about our life and about what you've done and about what you've said. Lord, help our loyalties be in the right place. God, we know where we're going to want our loyalties to be on that last day. When we enter into your presence and it all becomes very clear, we know we want the place our heart to be on that day. Lord, help us to even prepare now for a day that has us where we want to be. When you appear, when the trumpet sounds, and we know it's all over, and everything's going to be new, and you're coming for us, and we're glad. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if we think about things from a really practical level, where we're all at, we struggle with trying to figure out how to make the choices, how to make the decisions, how to think the thoughts I'm supposed to think. And everybody all over the world is in exactly the same place in that regard. And so we struggle with where do I get the right answers to understand me and my needs, all these things that are churning around in me and my relationships, which are so much the center of my life and yet so much a source of that turmoil in my life. And what am I supposed to be and do in this world? Where am I supposed to set my course? How am I supposed to see myself? What am I supposed to try to become? How am I supposed to judge the world? How do I measure it? How do I evaluate it? And how do everybody on earth is wrestling with those things? And everybody on earth is making decisions about what they trust to give them the truth so that they can answer these questions so they can take the next step forward. What do I do now? Well, okay, so here's what I'm going to believe is true. And as we look at the places we can go for answers or where everybody, there's only really four options that we have in where we can go to get answers. And there's one that generally is fairly present and fairly clear, and that is the voices in my head. That's sort of a crude way to say it. I could make it sound way more sophisticated and way more significant and respectful. But really, when it comes down to it, that's what it is. It's I've got these senses inside me of what's right about me, of what's right about you, of what's right about the world, of what the thing to do in any given situation would be. Everybody has those voices. And what's so remarkable is those voices can be so incredibly clear. I mean, they are certain, they are sure, they have the truth. And they speak into my heart and into my mind in a way that gives me an incredible degree of confidence because I know this is true. Every ounce of my body and mind and soul feels it. And yet, we could find many reasons to be questioning of this. You know, Aaron Ritter just did a 3-week series last fall up in Fort Collins. I just finished listening to it. I thought it was just really profound. It's called King Me. And he talks about how in our culture there's this incredible message now that you need to look inside yourself to find answers. And he went through lots of things around us and he went, wow, it is really, truly there. We are bombarded all the time with look inside, look inside, look inside, look inside. There's something significant in there to find. But you know, just the other day, I was having this sense, I think it was yesterday actually, of just feeling so locked in on a sense. And then just this other thing came to me going, you know, John, your emotional framework is going to change. And everything now that seems so certain, it's not going to seem that way. And one of the things I've realized is when I talk about listening to the voices in my head, the great challenge is, which one? Because how many voices do you have in your head? Lots, right? I mean, I've got all kinds of voices and they tell me completely different things depending on what's going on around me or what my last moment was. So I can't listen to the voices in my head because they just ping-pong me all over everywhere. And yet for many people, this is not only what they do, but what they're taught to do. Well, I have other choices. I can listen to the voices in my culture. There's lots of voices around. There's lots of authorities. I mean, there's universities and there's books and there's smart people and there's all these things and they're saying they have answers. And so when I look at these challenging questions that, okay, how do I answer this question? And right now our culture is wrestling with all kinds of changing values. And people are trying to find answers about incredibly difficult things. And so when you want to not just, you know, listen to the voice in your head, but you want to be objective. You want the truth. You're willing to go out there and find those who know. Well, so what do you do? Well, you Google it. That'll give you the answer. And if you really want to be objective, you go down to the bottom of the third page of your searches, and then you know you've got the real truth there at the very end. But honestly, if you've lived very long, what you realize is that when we listen to the voices out there, isn't this not true? All we're doing is listening into the voices in everybody else's head. And we're listening to all kinds of things that have no more basis for objectivity than what's in your head. And the older you get, the more you realize that's true. I was just reading an article yesterday about this new discoveries in DNA. And I have sort of an interest in that because I was a biology major and I've tried to keep track of that. And they've discovered a whole new level of complexity in human DNA. And I read this article and it was all about evolution. It was all about 30 million years ago and 80 million years ago. And I have enough background to know all of that is nonsense. What I am reading is the voice in somebody else's head. And yet it rolls into our world. And we go, oh, it's truth because it's right there on the internet. And this guy is a professor. I'm telling you, there is not anybody that knows any more about the important things in life than you do. In and of themselves. We are a bunch of lost sheep. A whole world of them. Well, hey, there's other voices in the world, right? There's the voices in our head. There's the voices in our culture. What are other voices? What's another voice that's in the world? This is one of my major thoughts from last week's message here. But it wasn't in the message. Dan shared it. My profound thought. One of them from last week. And he talked about a movie. What was his thought from the movie? And a quote from the movie. A quote from a wise woman in a movie. And she said, she was Iranian. I started watching that movie. I'm halfway through it. Haven't got to that part yet, though. But remember an Iranian woman who came out of Iran and moved to the United States, told her husband, listen, we got to go back. We can't stay in the United States. Going back perhaps to her death. And she said, we have to go because there is a satanic spirit of ease and, what's the next word? Comfort and ease in this country. Isn't this a voice in the world? Isn't this a voice that's everywhere? What are we told? We are told the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world, he is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. Is that really the case? Is there a voice? Is that true? Is the whole world under the control of the evil one? Oh my goodness. What does that tell me about the voices that I hear in here and out there? And when I look at our world, you know, I have always been, and our movement has always been, not a movement that emphasizes that spiritual dimension of the world. We do not see the devil behind every tree. You know what? I am starting to see the devil behind every tree. At least behind so many voices, behind so many voices. We must not be naive if these verses are true. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil. Does that shape what touches me? How much is that true? He is a liar and the father of lies. To lie is to speak. To lie is to communicate. To lie is to bring ideas and notions. And his very native language, Jesus said, is to lie. And 1 John 5 tells us the whole world is under his control. And so for me, when I look at the craziness going on around me, as we as a Christian culture are disconnecting from the fear of God, from the notion of God, and from the words of God, and I am watching my culture descend into insanity, and I don't think it's just us. The devil was so bold that he spoke to Jesus himself. The tempter came to him and said, oh, you think the tempter won't come to you? He came to Jesus, spoke right to his face. So, thank God, there is another voice. So, given that reality, if that's all true, assuming that's the case, that these voices are crazy, that all those voices are crazy, and there's another voice that's really evil, whoa, I need a better voice. I need something that I can lock onto that's solid, that I can trust. I need something that doesn't shift and move. It's like it's planted on a rock. And all the storms swirl around it and the waves. I'm this little ship out at sea and I'm just being tossed all over by all these other voices. And I can look out, there it is right there. It's solid and it won't move. And it's anchored to something so profound that nothing in this world can make it shift. And it speaks to me and it brings me light and truth, and I can go, there's my point, there it is, there's my point, there it is, that's where I'm supposed to go, right there. And oh, now I'm over here, oh, but it's right there, it's right there. Oh, now I'm over here, oh, there it is. And I can trust it, it will never ever fail. That's what God tells us we have in his word. How do you view it? How do you see God's word? God claims that that's what he brings to us. And, you know, even here, there's a lot of focus on the heart of God and his desire to connect and his desire to be near and his desire to accept and to bless and to be with us. But to just recognize that in that circle of amazing things about God is that God desires to speak to us. His desire is to connect with you. He, a being who speaks, made you in his image so there could be communication. So there's things that you need to hear because you're made in his image, and he made you so that you can hear, and his desire is to speak to you. Wow. Sort of a profound thought. God wants to speak to me. Can I own that? Can I accept that? I don't get emails from God. I don't hear voices. Now, I hear voices on the internet. I hear voices in my head. Or at least I certainly sense what they want and what they believe. I hear voices in my culture. How do I hear God's voice? Well, we need to recognize God's told us several things. He did say this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so God's Word, we're told, is Jesus. And there's this life that came into the world, and I can look at this life. I can look at this person. I can watch how he interacts with people. I can watch what he does. I can watch what he says. And I go, whoa, when I'm looking at that, it's God speaking to me. He says, I'm talking to you. I'm revealing myself to you. I'm giving you something solid. I'm giving you something absolute. What does God think about the week? I know. As Travis brought us into today, an absolute certainty about how God views the weak and the powerless. Nobody has any doubt about that anywhere in the world. What did Jesus think of the weak and powerless? Everybody knows. That is who God is. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. The life of Jesus, I can look at it, I can grab it, it's solid. I can know about God, about his heart, about how he views things, about how he views me. The Bible tells us that the life of Jesus is the voice, the communication, the word of God to me. Do you reach out and grab that? Do you go, whoa, okay, there's something solid there. I can study this life. I can know this life. And as I do that, it is God speaking to me saying, you can know this about me. Take it to the bank. It will not fail. Well, I don't get to be a disciple. I don't get to hang with him. I don't get to walk with him. Jesus is now no longer on this earth. So Jesus is the Word and the voice of God. But I also have this. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. God has given me his spirit. His spirit is the voice of God. And if you're a Christian, you recognize the reality of the spirit in your life. You recognize there's times where you sense a peace about things. There's times where you sense a conflict about things. There's times you sense, I should not be here. I should not be here. You know you're a Christian if you really, really struggle with sin, right? Well, I can't be saved because I just struggle so much with sin. Well, you know what? That's your best evidence. If you sin and you don't struggle with it, you're probably not saved. The Spirit lives inside you, and when you're where you're not supposed to be, things are not going well there. And you don't feel peace. So don't feel bad because you feel so wrought up about all your failure. Go, Lord Jesus, help me get beyond it. But Lord, I know that there's a connection with you that this doesn't fit with, and that connection is real, and that's why I'm there. Thank you, God, that you're not happy here. Because truth be told, I'm not happy here either. Let's go somewhere else. Help me. Change me. And the Spirit is the voice of God. And so God speaks to me through his Son, through the life of Jesus manifest on the earth. God himself taking human form, this astonishing thing, the incarnation. God speaks to me through his Spirit. But the truth is, if I was God, I'd do it all different. If I was God, if you're going to show up, God, show up on a white horse. Be a king. Make it clear. Make it easy. It's so confusing. You're just this guy and born in a barn. You got no money. You don't try to start a school. You need to start a whole school. Jesus, teach the world. Become the guru. It's so confusing. You love us. It can't be confusing. And then the Spirit. It's a still small voice. You need to speak louder. I think it's the Spirit. I think it's the Spirit. I don't know. Lord, you could make it easier. But nonetheless, in both of those things, there's something very real, something very profound, and in a sense, something I know is true. As I follow God in this world. And he does give the sword a spirit, the Spirit a sword. And the Spirit can speak more loudly here. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then the next line is, and pray. All Scripture is inspired by God. So we have this, brothers and sisters. We have the life of Jesus, the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God, which indwells you if you have come into relationship with him. And it is very real, and God does speak to you there. And we have this. He has given us the Bible. He has written a book. That is a profound claim. That God has said, okay, of all the ways I'm going to work here, let's do it this way. I am going to inspire the words of a book so that they're absolutely, completely, totally true. And I'm going to give them a book. And it's going to be a book that in my infinite sovereignty has ideas and notions that can be translated into every single language, so transmission will be no problem. Remember, was it last week Nathan said? Or was it Greg up at the teen conference? But anyway, if you're in Islam, you have to read the Quran in Arabic. Indonesia, the largest Muslim country in the world, every single day they do all their Islamic rituals in a language they do not understand. Because the words of Allah cannot be translated. That's pretty sorry, God. I'm looking for an infinite God that can bring his thoughts that can be translated. And God has said, I'm going to write a book, I'm going to give a book, and in that book, I'm going to give things that are absolutely true. And I made all these languages, I created all these languages, and this book is going to be able to bring my truth in every single language. And it will be me, through my spirit, speaking to them in this book. Well, God, why don't you do some other things? I can think of a lot of other things you could do. You could blow some things up in the sky. You could do all kinds of things that would be helpful here. In my infinite purposes, I will give you a life. I will give you a spirit, and I will give you a book. And in that fallen world, you grab those three and you walk with me. And I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you, and I will be there at the end. And he tells us what we need to know. So where do I get the right answers to understand me, my needs, my relationships, and what I'm supposed to be and do in this crazy world? Well, every single thing that's important to know, he tells us. He tells us about himself. And by the way, in my opinion, the greatest need in the Christian world is not to understand grace, it's to understand God. Most of us believe we have an awful lot of grace from a very small God. Make your God bigger, and the grace will be more powerful. He tells us there's only one God. You only get that in the Bible. There's nowhere else that's ever come into the human mind except out of Scripture. Everywhere else is polytheism. Amazing thing. You know, when you look at what do we get, you think is so normal. Everybody thinks this. No, actually, no, nobody thinks that. Nobody thinks that. Except people who get it from the Bible. God's holy. There are no other holy gods. Well, maybe the Islamic God is holy, but that comes out of the Bible. God is a Trinity. God loves us. How about this one? God makes promises. Isn't that profound? How many of you guys have things? There's a promise. There's a verse. There's a truth. And you've grabbed hold of it, and you have it, and you've taken it out of God's word, and it's like, all right, I can stand on this, and this doesn't move. This is solid for me. I got it. Just this morning, there were promises that God's given me. It's like, I got it. I got it. It's solid. Promises. God makes promises. How many of God's promises are you standing on? The Bible teaches us about the reality and the result of evil. As far as I know, there is no other book, no other philosophy, no other culture, no nothing else that solves that problem of how can an infinitely good God allow evil? The Bible explains that and explains all of our own evil, the fall and all the junk in us and how we're glorious ruins. The adversary, how do we know about that? It's in the Bible. It gives us our definitions for right and wrong, about marriage. Wow, is anybody wondering about that today? Well, how in the world would you ever know? Gender. I've gotten a chance to speak on this last week down in, or a couple weeks going down in Tucson with the guys from Phoenix. And incredible confusion on college campuses today, beyond what my mind can hardly take in. Things people are being told, things people are being taught. But actually, honestly, truly, how in the world would you know about gender? Is there two genders? Or is there 27 genders? Or is there 71 genders, like Facebook says? Who would even know? What is gender? Unless someone who has the authority to really understand can tell us, you know, actually, guys, there's two. And I know you don't feel that way all the time, and I know especially when you're junior high, you don't know what you think about anything. Hang on. There's two. That's where you're going. That's how I've made you. That's your identity. That's where I'll meet you. That's your safe place. Regardless of what you feel, regardless of what the voices are saying, regardless of what the voices are saying, regardless of what that voice is saying, I'm telling you, I made it. And there's two. Oh, okay. So So in the end, that will work out. But God, we can't blame these other guys because they wouldn't know. How would they know? You're the only one that could know. So they got it all wrong because they're not listening to you, but they can't figure it out on their own. And he's going to lie. Sexual morality. Again, same thing. How in the world would you figure that out? Only if somebody could tell you. Who knows? Clothing. This is so fascinating. Why do we wear clothing? I did a study on this once, and it's not actually what I thought it was going to be when I studied it in the Bible. But I don't know who can explain this except the Bible. The place of human life in the creation. Interesting quote by a woman named Ingrid Newkirk. She may be the nicest lady in the world. I don't know much about her. Even if animal research resulted in a cure for AIDS, we'd be against it, she says, as president and founder of PETA. Is she right there? What about the bunny? The poor bunny. But Ingrid, and she has a video on YouTube, I am an animal. And Ingrid knows that biologically there's this connection that she's got the same proteins and carbohydrates and in her body as the bunny does. But the book tells her, but Ingrid, there's another line. There's the physical line, but then there's the personhood line. And in personhood, you have nothing to do with that. Your reflection comes from me, and you are infinite and you're eternal. You will never end, Ingrid. And Ingrid, I love you and I care for all these other things, but it is human life that I can connect with and I can communicate with, and all the rest of the creation is a resource to do good for human life. And I think differently in what it means to steward the creation for God. Teaches us about how the world began. I think that's sort of important. And here's even more important, how the world will end. Principles of finance and economics, roles for government, standards and guidelines for our own relationships. What happens to us when we die? Okay. The reality of eternity, the reality of judgment, and the personal first answer. You know, if you think about all this stuff long enough, there's really just one fundamental first question, and that is there a God? It all comes down to that's all that really matters in the first thing, is there a God? But when you think about, okay, what's the answer I need? What's the first answer, the first personal answer I got to know for me? It's that I will be judged by God. If that's true, that there is an eternal reckoning coming for me, then everything goes, whoa, okay, that aligns everything. Every moment, every day is all going to be revisited. I'm going to stand in front of him again, and we're going to review every day together. That reorients everything in my life. And he has told me that. And I will live forever with the results of that judgment. Okay. If that's true, I need to know that. And I need to orient my life around that. And I need to listen to the voice that will tell me how to navigate that moment. And again, Travis just walked us into some of that. Be kind and gracious to the poor is part of it. Especially those who know Jesus. So the Bible says, let the one who has my word speak it faithfully, for what has straw to do with grain, declares the Lord. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? Indeed, I'm against those who prophesy false dreams, declares the Lord. They tell them and lead my people astray with their reckless lies. But then we come down to that question really that all of us face at, you know, at moments is the Bible really true? Is the Bible really, truly, actually this astonishing, unfallen, point in the creation, the only unfallen point in the creation. Is it like this light that, like, here you can go, here, this is unfallen, this is unbroken, this you can grab hold of and trust? But wait a minute. I mean, the Bible talks about oceans parting and people walking on water and the little boat with the giraffe's neck sticking out. Is this book really true? And I think Nathan and Pat are going to walk through some things related to prophecy, and there's so many ways to look at the Bible, and you, and believe me. Remember what Satan said to Eve? He said two things. He said, did the Lord really say? And then after that he said, you will not surely die. What did God say? You will surely die. And the devil said, you will not surely die. He directly, bold-faced, lied, contradicted what God had just said. The devil's voice in your life will, in a bold-faced lie, contradict God's truth. And he'll do it so forcefully and so confidently, you'll go, whoa, 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 whoa. Maybe I need to think about this. Be careful. The voices that you question and the voices that you listen to. But one of the simple ways we can do this, when we only have a couple minutes, is we can just ask, what did Jesus think? Now, I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm tracking with that guy. He's my leader. He's my king. I'm following him. He's saved me. He's in me. He's changed me. He's answered prayers. I got that one down. What did he think about the Bible? Because whatever he thought, I go, well, whatever he thinks, yeah, what he says. Of all the things Jesus communicated clearly, there's one thing he communicated with absolute crystal clarity, and that was his view on the Bible. One place in Matthew chapter 5, he says this, I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the slightest, smallest letter, nor the least stroke of a pen, will at any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. So Jesus here, he's working with people who are trying to figure stuff out. He's thinking, you know, maybe things are not quite so straightforward, not quite so black and white. And Jesus said, listen, there is absolutely nothing, not a jot, not a tittle. When they wrote it out, their parts of their writings were jots and tittles, little tiny dots and little tiny slashes. And they were part of the law. And Jesus said, listen, there's not one of those dots that's going away till every bit of it comes true. It's all going to be true. In John 10, he's arguing with the Pharisees. And he says this to them, is it not written in your law, I have said you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came. And he's taking this really obscure verse. I mean, this is a really obscure verse in the Psalms. And probably, you know, for generations and hundreds of years, studiers of the Bible go, oh, I don't know what that verse means. I don't know what that verse means. You know, we don't really know what that verse means. You are gods. But Jesus said, listen, it's in there. And you know what? The scripture cannot be broken. It cannot be broken. If it's in there, it's true. This is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me. Everything. If it's in there, it'll come true. It will be true. There is no question. Don't worry about it. Don't wonder about it. If it's in there, it will be true. And so often when he answered questions, he just said this. Haven't you read what David did? He didn't explain it. He didn't try to be logical. He just said, haven't you read? It's in there. The answer's in there. Haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple desecrate the day and are yet innocent? The answer is right there. It's in the scripture. Haven't you read that in the beginning, the Creator made them male and female, answering questions about marriage? So we might get in heated arguments with people around us today about views on morality or marriage or whatever. Jesus' answer was about three sentences, and it started with, haven't you read? That's where we get our truth. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, I've ordained praise? They were criticizing him because of something he was doing. Hey, haven't you read the scriptures? This is a really interesting verse, Matthew 22. But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? When you read the Bible, is God talking to somebody else? Is it old words? Is it an ancient text? Jesus said to those people, taking that which was written many, many years ago, he says, this is what God said to you. Have you not read what God said to you? So if I take this, I go, wow, God, when you inspire the words of the Bible, that is you talking to me. Wow. According to Jesus. And so really we get to this point. A church is a set apart community of believers in Jesus Christ who are renewing their minds and ordering their lives by the truth God has given us in his book. Because as we look at our options here, every decision and every action is based on following truth in one of four voices. The flesh, which is those in my head. The world, which is everybody else's flesh. The devil, whose goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. Or God, which I get in the Bible. And I remember when I first got involved in the church, the people were so radically different. And they were radically different most clearly in where they were oriented. They were oriented toward God. They were oriented toward listening to God. They were not caught up in the latest movie. They were not caught up in all kinds of crazy stuff going on. I don't think people watched a whole lot of sports back then. They were locked on a voice. It was consuming them. They were obsessed. And here is our challenge. This is a slide from last week. Verse I really like, Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing, hearing to the word of Christ. Just take that first phrase. What do you believe? Well, this verse says, tells me what you believe. Or actually, if I could watch your life for a month and have some big supercomputer record everything that you watch and connect with and talk about, I would know what you believe. Because faith comes from hearing. And whatever you hear the most is what you believe. Every advertiser knows that. Why do they want their name on every t-shirt, on every billboard, on every McDonald's cup? Because they believe the Bible. Faith comes by hearing. Whatever you dump in your head the most, that's what you believe. That's the center of your thinking. Here's another one. This is Proverbs 18. This is my evolution verse. The first to state his case seems right until his opponent begins to cross-examine him. Meaning I can make you believe anything as long as I get to be the only guy that talks to you. You can even believe you used to be a monkey, which you used to be a frog, which used to be a tadpole, which used to be a worm, which used to be star stuff, and it sounds glorious. As long as there's the only voice talking to you, telling you that. So when we look at the wisdom pyramid again from last week, the smallest thing up there, of course, is social media. Then the internet. Then books, presumably good books. Then nature and beauty. Then the church traditions and life. And then the Bible. Honestly, let's just go to the Christian world. Take the average Christian in your understanding as much as you grasp, but maybe even take a peek at your own life. Compared to how much the Bible speaks into your life, how many other voices wash over you in a deeper, more profound way. how much time do you spend on Netflix? How much time do you spend surfing the internet? How much time do you spend on Facebook or Instagram? Faith comes by hearing. If you know more about the royal family than you do about the family of Abraham and Sarah, your life is not going in a good direction. I'm just going to tell you. There's grace over it all, total grace over it all. But in what's coming for us in our world, brothers and sisters, this is my view. In what's coming for us in our world, we had better get our heads immersed in the right things. That's my goal for my own life. I view myself moving toward great tests, great challenges, great moments where my faith is going to be tested. How do you view your life? I want to be absorbed in the things of God. And so you see, we really get to choose our life, because life is a journey. You know, they say life is like a coin. You can spend it any way you want, but you only get to spend it once. Right now, in that journey, there is a course you're on. What would characterize that course which is shaping the direction of your life? Here's all the voices. They're all there. But the primary voices shaping this person's life is the voices in their head. That's what they hear the most. That's what's going to determine what they become and how they live their life. There's the voices in the world. All the voices are there. But what's this person absorbed in? Maybe you're caught up in bitterness or anger. It says that you've given the devil a foothold. And now how much you go to church, there's something you've given a stronghold there. And there's a voice holding you, holding you, holding you. Or this can be our life. And all the voices are there, but we keep going, God, put me back here, put me back here, put me back here, put me back here, put my head back here, put my head back here. Put my head back here. Because I am prone to wander, as we sang. And this is where we get back to a church. There is total grace. We can live however we want. You know what happens at the end? No matter how you live your life, if you've entered into a love relationship with Christ through the cross, he scoops you up. He scooped you up. And you're home forever. But there is something about this life. There is some dimension in which we will be so glad we walked with him, so glad we were faithful, so glad we were true, so glad we were able to see him in the midst of all the mess. And on that day, that's where I will want to be. Somehow on that day, there are regrets. You can regret being where you're at. And that's why he has to wipe every tear from our eyes. He says, listen, it's fine, it's good, you're good, we're good here. Oh, but oh, why did I not walk more deeply and more closely and pursue more fully than I did? You spoke to me. You told me. You showed me. God's word, his life, his spirit, his book. We are a community of people helping one another be that fourth picture. We are a community of people helping one another think God's thoughts, listen to God's voice, be God's people. Lord, we thank you that you graciously, not legalistically, says you've not received a spirit of fear. You have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry out, Daddy, Father. And I pray the freedom of that would just move us to go, Lord, help me go deeper. Help me believe your word more. Help me to think the way you think. Help me to trust your thoughts on it. You believe it, Lord Jesus. You said it was true. Help me to lock in on that. And help me to realize it's not an idle word for me. It is not an idle word for me. It is my very life. Make us a community of people like that, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.